We turn in God's Word to the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew chapter 4. Our scripture reading is verses 12 through 22. 12 through 22. Then after that, we turn to Mark, parallel passage, and read the text there in Mark 1. But first, Matthew chapter 4. 12 through 22. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. Read that far in Matthew, and now we turn to Mark chapter 1, where you find a parallel passage in the text, which is verses 16 through 20. 16 through 20 of Mark chapter 1. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ, the passage before us in God's Word is often applied to the call to the public ministry of the gospel. We see here Jesus calling his disciples to be fishers of men. And that is what Jesus does when he calls men to be preachers and missionaries. And indeed, that is one application that we make today. There are seven young men, goodly young men, who will make public profession of faith today and soon in the next month or so. Seven young men who are weak of themselves, but strong in the Lord here in Hope Protestant Reformed Church. Seven disciples who enjoy fishing no less. And among them, there may indeed be those whom Jesus calls to be preachers of the gospel officially. And if there are, then I pray, as I preach, that they hear Jesus Himself calling them tonight with His Word. "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." And there may be other men here in our congregation, in our catechism classes yet, in our societies, and even those who may not be young anymore, or so they think. Jesus says to them, "Follow me." And they hear, and they can do no other but pursue the gospel ministry. Having said that, however, Christ's call of the disciples here in our text may not only be applied to those who are called to the gospel ministry. We apply it to all, male and female. The call in the text of Jesus Christ to His disciples is a more general call. It is the call of the gospel to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a call to faith. It is a call then, after faith, to follow Jesus Christ, to walk in His footsteps. And then yes, it is a call also to all, and not just to a few men, but a call to all God's people to hear, believe, follow, and also to become fishers of men. Yes, that is the call to the entire church of Jesus Christ. And I pray that all God's people hear that call tonight, not just from a man, but from Jesus Himself, and that straightway you follow Him. This evening I continue my series in the public ministry of Jesus Christ, but because it is the occasion of confession of faith, I did skip one section which I intend to come back to. You notice that in both Matthew and Mark, where we read from. Before our text, you find Jesus beginning His Galilean ministry. He went all about the land of Galilee, not only on the western side of the Jordan River, but on the eastern side of the Jordan River as well, to those who were Gentiles. After the temptations that He endured in the wilderness, Jesus went forth in a Galilean tour, and that lasted for about 1 year. The events of our text take place during His first Galilean tour, during His ministry. He calls His disciples. Significantly, this is not the first time that Jesus calls His disciples to follow Him. You read in the book of John, John 1, 36 and following, you will find Jesus at the Jordan River while John the Baptist is still preaching and baptizing. And there we find a certain call. John the Baptist pointed to Jesus, having his own disciples to look at Jesus, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And John the Baptist, used by Jesus, called John and Andrew to follow Jesus. And they did. After that, in John 1, you find Andrew, the brother of Peter, go to Peter and call him to come with him to see the Messiah. And Peter began following Jesus. In a sense, Jesus had already called these same disciples of the text to follow Him. And apparently after this call, the first call in John 1, the disciples went back to fishing. They went back to the Sea of Galilee. And here in our text, Jesus comes to the Sea of Galilee and calls them again. This is not the first time Jesus calls them. Neither is it the last. In Luke 5, you can see Jesus going back to the Sea of Galilee where the disciples had returned. He does a miracle of the catch of many fishes and calls them to be fishers of men. And you will remember also later on after Jesus' resurrection, He finds the same disciples on the Sea of Galilee. And He gathers them at the shore and calls them to feed My sheep. But now Jesus, though this is not the first time, nor would it be the last, Jesus in our text calls the same fishermen to Himself. We consider that under the theme, Jesus calling a fisherman, first called to faith, second called to follow, and then finally called to fish. To faith, to follow, to fish. Before us in our text is, first of all, a call to faith, often termed the call of the gospel. Jesus came to his disciples while they were fishing on the Sea of Galilee. He was like a shepherd coming to his wandering sheep. And he calls them to himself, perhaps more fitting to the situation. Jesus comes as the master spiritual fisherman to his disciples, who were more like fish spiritually than fishermen at this time, in the midst of a troubled sea of this world. And he casts his net, Jesus does, with this call. And he gathers them to himself. Verse 17 is the call. Mark 1:17. Come ye after me. Such a call Jesus would issue again and again through his public ministry to all of the people, as well as to his disciples. A very familiar passage that shows him doing this is Matthew 11:28. Come, same word, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In the preaching and the context, you see him doing this in his Galilean ministry. Verse 15. The time is fulfilled, Jesus preaches to the people, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's another form of the same call of the gospel. Believe, repent and believe. Come unto me. It's a call to faith. When he comes to the disciples at the Sea of Galilee, it's not as though the disciples do not yet know who he is. Remember, they had come to him already in John chapter 1, when he was by the Jordan River. They knew him to be the Lamb of God come to take away the sins of the world, as John preached. They knew him to be the Messiah, the promised one. And for some reason, we'll talk about that in a few moments, they had, instead of continuing with Jesus, gone back to fishing, gone back to the Sea of Galilee. The disciples knew the identity of this Son of God. Of course, they had more to learn, as we all do, even after we have believed. But he comes to these disciples, and he calls them to faith again. These disciples, as you notice, have been preoccupied, we can say. They are in the context of a preoccupation. Their attention was focused on their business, occupation in that sense. They were working. They were engaged in their job. They were not casting out lines and lures for pleasure as some might today, but they were casting out nets with weights to catch the fish, draw those fish to themselves, and then to sell those fish for profit. It was a business. That's what Peter and John were doing. They were casting, and as part of their business, John and James were also in their boat mending their nets with their hired employees, their servants. They were working. It was their job. Along with their job, they had possessions. The text explicitly speaks of their nets, their boats. We call it gear, fishing gear, expensive fishing gear. They had possessions along with their business, as many of you might have. They were preoccupied with their possessions, they were preoccupied with their work, their job, but they were also preoccupied, thirdly, with their family. The text explicitly speaks of James and John with their father, Zebedee. This was a family business, but they were occupied not just with the business, it's a family business, but with their dad, their father. They had a close relationship with him. Busy. They were with possessions, with work, with family. And Jesus comes to them and he calls them, come ye after me. And straightway, immediately, they left their nets, they left their work, they left their possessions, they left their family, and they followed him. The record of both Matthew and Mark repeat that adverb, immediately or straightway, both regarding Peter and Andrew, and then again with James and John. Immediately, immediately, they repeat. They follow Jesus. Striking. Striking. Not all God's people are called to preach the gospel officially. But all God's people are called to faith. That's what we see here first. A call to faith. A call to faith in the Jesus Christ of the gospel. What is that gospel? Come unto me, Jesus said. That gospel includes the wonderful explanation of election in this Jesus Christ. That God has chosen us from before the foundations of the world in Him. Not based on foreseen faith, not based on what we would do, but based only upon His love. Because of His good pleasure. The gospel includes the explanation that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. The gospel includes the explanation that He suffered all His life, and especially on the cross, where He endured hell itself and finished enduring it for His people. And only His people. That gospel includes the explanation that He obeyed all of God's commandments while He suffered. Every single one perfectly doing the will of God as we saw this morning in our place. So that there's nothing left for us to obey for our salvation. That gospel includes the explanation that He rose again and He ascended into heaven and works by His Holy Spirit in us. So that salvation is not only for us, but salvation is in us by His Spirit to sanctify us, to preserve us, and to bring us all the way to glory. That salvation includes, that explanation of the gospel includes an unconditional covenant that because of Jesus Christ, there is fellowship and friendship with God graciously established with us and with our children. What we celebrate today. And that, even though we sin again and again, that covenant is maintained. He will never leave us nor forsake us. In all things He will work for our good. But along with that explanation of the gospel that you have just heard, comes the call. Yes, a command. Which should be heard more often than it probably has been heard off Protestant Reformed pulpits. Not a well-meant offer, but a call. Believe in this Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in this gospel. Come, turn, repent and believe in this Lord Jesus Christ. Behold Him, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. Trust in Him. To whom does this call come? Yes, to those who have not yet believed for the first time. And yes, there are some here like that. There are those in Protestant Reformed churches too that need to hear that command, that call, and come to Jesus Christ and believe for the first time. But more, the call comes not only to those who have not yet believed, but that call comes to you who already believe. Remember, Jesus here in this text is coming to Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They have already heeded the call. They already believe in the Messiah. And He calls them again. And so He calls you again. Faith is not a one-time thing in the past. Don't say in response to this call, I already believed. No, today, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto Him. Turn from your sin. See yourself as the sinner, the chief one. And look to Jesus Christ alone for your covering, and for your help to combat sin. Even if you're not obviously in the sin of some sin of drunkenness or adultery or slander or some other form of worldliness, the point of this passage is that we lose our focus. We are preoccupied like these disciples by nature. Whether it be the work of fishing or the pleasure of fishing, though not wrong of itself, we can make this an idol. It could be our job, as it was for the disciples, whatever work it might be, not just fishing. Where we become so consumed with our labors that we're seeking our own kingdom in our business rather than His. We can get consumed not only with our job, but with our possessions. The disciples were looking at their boat, their nets, their things. So the gospel must come again and again, and the call must come again and again with it. Even to you who today make confession of faith. Turn to Jesus Christ and the idols of your heart and trust Him alone for your forgiveness. Turn to Him and trust in Him to help you in your battle against every idol that the idol factory of your heart makes day by day. I do not mean by come or believe, I do not mean agree with the doctrines of the PRC, though that is involved. I do not mean have a bond of faith. I mean trust in Jesus Christ. Active faith. Not good works. Believe. Not that your parents believe, you believe. Not I wonder if I did in the past, but today, that's the point. Come unto me, Jesus says, you who are on the sea of this world. And you hear in that not just the authority of the call that you must, you're obligated to, God's people here with that external call and internal power. Because this is what theologians call, and we must call, the irresistible call of the gospel. When the Spirit takes that which is preached and brings it to the heart of His people, it's not an option. But He sweetly and powerfully bends our will to believe. That is what we see in this text illustrated. The disciples hear Jesus Christ not only with their ears, Christ sends His Spirit into their heart as He speaks, and they hear Him in their hearts call them. And they believe. They believe. They come to Jesus. Not just externally, but their hearts trust in this Savior. Oh no, just because you externally hear it does not mean you do believe. With the external call also comes a hardening. Jesus said that. Matthew 22:14, many are called, but few are chosen, speaking of the external call. He says in John 10, ye believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. But he says this about his people, who hear not only with their ears, but with their hearts. My sheep, hear my voice. And I know them. They follow me. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. And so you see, beloved, the fact that those disciples immediately came to Jesus at his call is not for the praise of those disciples, though it is properly said that they came and they believed. But it's for the praise of Jesus Christ Himself. He, as it were, cast His net upon the sea and caught the disciples like fish and drew them to Himself. They had to come. They came willingly because He bent their will, but they had to come. And so you say this evening, you believe, properly said. You stand up and you say, not just my parents believe, but I believe, I trust in Jesus Christ. I do. What is revealed in the Old Testament and New Testament and taught here in this Christian church, I believe that Christ taught here. Beautiful, glorious, wonderful. We celebrate that. But not you. We celebrate the Jesus Christ, the wonderful Savior who called you. Why do you believe? Because the net of that master fisherman sank to the depths of my lost soul and drew me to Himself. That's why. But there's more. Tied to this call to faith is the call to follow. To follow. Matthew, the gospel according to Matthew, makes that explicit. Jesus does not only say, come in Mark, come ye, but there is in that phrase a call to follow. Come ye after me, Mark says. Come ye after me. Jesus is not only saying, believe, He is, but He's saying more than that. Believing, now change. Follow. Walk in my footsteps. In other words, yes, do good works. There's both a command to believe and a command to follow Him. Don't mix the two. Don't mix faith and works. They're distinct. They're different. But they're not separate. When Jesus calls to faith, He also calls, follow me. Follow me. The Belgian Confession speaks of that. Article 24. It's impossible that this holy faith can be unfruitful in man. But we do not speak of a vain faith, but such a faith which is called in Scripture a faith that worketh by love, which excites men to the practice of those works which God has commanded in His Word. That's why at confession of faith, you do not only say you believe, you acknowledge the truth of Jesus Christ taught in the Old and New Testament, but you also say, I am resolved to live a new and godly life. Not because that is faith, but because that will inevitably come forth if you believe. The kind of good work, notice, which Jesus calls His disciples unto is the good work of learning. Learning. Follow could mean doing, following the example of many things which Jesus did. It includes that. But in this text specifically, it especially refers to learning from Jesus' instruction and example. Don't immediately jump here, men, to the call to be ministers of the gospel. But notice, follow me means that they are trained, that they learn from Jesus Christ before they become ministers of the gospel. In fact, Jesus doesn't send Peter, James, Andrew, and John to be preachers until Matthew 10 or Mark 6, a few chapters later on. Now He's not sending them to preach yet. He is calling them to learn from Him. Striking that in Matthew 11, that familiar passage which I quoted already, Matthew 11, 28, Jesus does the same thing. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's the call to faith. But he follows up on that with this: "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Peter and James and John and Andrew did not become skilled preachers and apostles in an instant. They were men of Galilee, known to have a certain kind of speech. It wasn't very good in those days. It wasn't judged as eloquent. They were fishermen who were less educated than many others around them in Judea especially. Jesus didn't plop them into the ministry and say, "Start fishing for men." First, here in this text, he calls them to learn. And that, you see, is applied not just to men pursuing the gospel ministry. That is to be applied to all of God's people in His church, male and female. After confession of faith, you aren't required to come to catechism class anymore to learn there. And you affirmed to me that when I asked you, you didn't make confession of faith, did you, so that you could be done with catechism? You said, "No, I believe it. And I'll prove it. Study. Read. Do your devotions. Come to society. Memorize God's Word. Listen in church better than you have ever done before. Learn of Jesus. All who believe, follow Him. They learn of Him. They keep the Scriptures open. Come ye after me," Jesus said. And I get a little ahead of myself here, but it's necessary. Men, you who don't really know yet whether Jesus might be calling you to be a preacher. Notice he doesn't say, "I call you to be fishers of men." He says, "Learn," and then says, "I will make you." You hear that? "I will make you fishers of men. As you learn, I will equip those whom I call." Perhaps the question is not about gifts, first of all, whether I have the gifts to be a minister, but about the willingness to give up everything, which is supposed to be in the hearts of all of God's people. The disciples, when they heard Jesus call them to faith and then to follow, to learn of Him, they had to leave everything. They had to be willing to give up everything. Their possessions, their job, their family. Are you willing? Are you willing? "He that loveth father or mother," Jesus said, "more than me is not worthy of me." Tonight Jesus didn't just call His disciples back then. He calls you. "Follow me. Even if it means leaving father and mother, job and business, and all possessions, fishing itself, to follow me." Doesn't mean that every single one of us must give up all that. Sometimes Jesus' call to follow Him means that we take care of our father and our mother, and we take care of our possessions, and we work faithfully in our job. But the point is, you are to be willing to leave all. Yes, you are to be willing to give up fishing to come to Bible study. You are to be willing to give up a few minutes of sleep so that you can tend to devotions in the morning. You are to be willing to speak up about your faith, even if your family despises you for it. And again, you hear in that not merely Jesus' authority, follow me, no matter what, even if it means losing all. But you hear Jesus' power. He called those disciples to follow Him. And it wasn't just about their obligation, but when He called them, He bent their wills, not only to believe, but to live for Him. As it was with faith, so it is with good works, you see. He speaks to our hearts with the preaching of the Word. When He calls us to follow, He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And so it is that when the disciples gave everything up and they walked in Jesus' footsteps and they followed Him, it wasn't for the praise of those disciples. It was for the praise of Jesus Christ who called them irresistibly, even unto good work. And so it is, if you're called today, follow Him and you improve in your study of His Word. You improve in learning of Him and you improve in any good work. You say, along with Paul, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I labor, yes, I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Our Lord Jesus Christ powerfully called His disciples to faith, to follow, especially learning from Him, and finally to fishing. Not to fishing for fish, but to fishing for men. I will make you fishers of men. He called them, I remind you, I said this already. His call was to prepare them. His call was not yet that they go out and be preachers and missionaries, but He called them to training. And implied in that is that He would call them to preaching as fishers of men. He didn't equip them in an instant to be preachers. If Peter had been meek like Moses, he would have said, I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And Jesus would have said, I didn't say, you are fishers of men, because you aren't by nature. You're not very good at it. I will make you fishers of men. Isaiah puts his hand on his lips and he too said, I'm a sinful man. I'm unworthy. And God said, I will put my words in thy mouth. I will make you what you are not of yourself. I will equip those whom I call. Beloved, this must be applied not just to men who might be called to the gospel ministry, called to the training of it, but it's applied to the church as a whole. I spoke of that in the introduction. Really, first, the church as a whole. We don't have a church dedicated to be fishers of men. They will not send out men to be fishers of men. The church must be dedicated to be fishers of men. The calling comes, the Great Commission, to the church, not to men first, individual men first of all. To the church, go ye therefore, Jesus said, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Matthew 28. To every believer as a member of the church, you are called by Jesus Christ to be fishers of men, to go forth as personal witnesses of the gospel, to support one another and help each other in that witnessing, to work with your evangelism committee, your reform witness committee, to promote the spread of the gospel, to give of your gifts, of your offerings, so that there might be the sending of missionary, to have a mission-mindedness, because that is the mission of the church, to be fishers of men. You hear that call. Not just from me, as your pastor, remember, Jesus Christ. It's from Jesus Christ. There's a mysterious connection here. Profound. Faith calls them to faith, the following, and the fishing, and they're not disconnected. Which means this: all those He calls to faith, He calls to follow. And all those He calls to follow, He calls to fish for men. Not every single individual as a preacher or missionary, but every single one is a member of the church to work together for the fishing of men. And you might say, I'm not very good. I'm scared of it. I can't speak as a witness. Are we really as churches ready for this? Is it really time? We're weak. We've had so many troubles. Exactly. It's the right time. He doesn't choose the strong. He chooses weak Galileans like these, impetuous Peters, men despised, who couldn't speak very well, of Galilee. And he says, I will make you fishers of men. And there you hear Jesus, not only with His authority, but His irresistible word, call. The child of God, bent by His Savior, says, here am I. Send me. Use me. Use us. Who cannot believe on our own. Who cannot follow by our own strength. Who cannot fish for men. But you see, your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men are called, not many mighty, not many noble. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Why would He call the weak? Weak fishermen like you. So that no flesh should glory in His presence. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord who called. Amen. Let's pray. O God, through Jesus Christ and by Thy Holy Spirit, speak Thy Word internally within our souls, sweetly and powerfully bend our wills to believe, to follow, to be trained unto the fishing for men, and cast the net of the gospel. Even this evening, cast thy net, the call of the gospel, so that it sinks down to the depths of souls here to capture, captivate hearts in thy grace and draw to thyself those who are thy people. And make us who are fish by nature in a dark sea of this world, who tend to go back as wandering fish. Make fish, fishers of men. Not for our glory, but for the glory of Thee, our Lord, and of Jesus Christ, Thy Son, the great fisherman. Amen.